Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for tonight. We thank you for the power of your word. And Lord, when it becomes real in our lives and we apply it, it is life-changing. And so, God, we just give you thanks for that. And it's no exception tonight. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So tonight's message is a little bit of a follow-on from the last message I heard about how long are you going to leave the squatters inside your head. And you'll remember if you were here, we talked about those people that get inside our head and we can't get them out. And often they can be there for 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years, as we saw in the life of Jacob and Esau. Well, tonight, I think the last three or four times I've spoken on the temptations of Jesus, which was around the whole thought process of how Jesus dealt with Satan. The time before that, which I'll share a little bit about, I spoke about setting your mind on things above. And tonight, I'm going to share about taking every thought captive. Now, I think we all think, we all have thoughts. Some of us have deeper thoughts than others. And so I just want to run through just a couple of thoughts on thoughts. So firstly, a thought is an idea that you have in your mind. Nice, simple definition. A thought is an idea that you have in your mind. And here's just a couple of slides on thoughts. So if we can have the first one up. One small positive thought can change your whole day. Let's have the next one. A thought is harmless unless we believe it. It's not our thoughts, but our attachment to our thoughts that causes suffering. Attaching to a thought means believing that it's true without inquiring. A belief is a thought that we've been attaching to often for years. And just a couple of thoughts on thoughts. And here's some of you may have heard this next one. This is from Stephen Covey out of his book, The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. Sow a thought, reap an action. Sow an action, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character, sow a character, and reap a destiny. Thoughts are very, very powerful. And they can be very positive in our lives, but they can be very negative. We need to think about what we think about. It's important that we do that. So let's see what the Bible says about our mind and our thoughts. Romans 8:6, and this is out of the New Life version. I really like this version on our thoughts. If your sinful old self is the boss over your mind, it leads to death. But if the Holy Spirit is the boss over your mind, it leads to life and peace. Let's go to the next one. This is one of my favourite scriptures, and we know Aaron shared about this a couple of weeks ago. It said, do not be conformed to this world any longer with its superficial values and customs, but be transformed and progressively changed. I love that, progressively changed. More often than not, change doesn't happen like that. And sometimes we get disappointed when change doesn't happen like that. But the way God works is with progressive change in more cases than not. As you mature spiritually, by the renewing of your mind, focusing on godly values and ethical attitudes, so that you may prove for yourselves what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect in His plan and purpose for you. So why do you think the way you do? Why do you think Why do you have thoughts the way you do? Is it because you're born that way? Are your thoughts, is that where you line up and say, well, I think this way because I was born that way? Is it because you were taught that way? Is that why you think the way you think? Is that the way you work it out? You're taught at school? You think the way you think because you're taught that way? Because it was how it was modelled to you. Do you think the way you think because it was modelled to you? And often you see people who have had maybe manipulation modelled to them by a parent or even a teacher. It often shows this is how I'm now going to have my thinking process. So Scripture says, but don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. So change the way you think. Change it to a healthy way of thinking. So Philippians 4:8 says, Christian brothers, keep your minds thinking about whatever is true, whatever is respected, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever can be loved, and whatever is well thought of, if there is anything good and worth giving thanks for, think about these things. Now think about your thoughts. Is that where your thought process goes? Do you have that thought process? Do you think that way? I mean, obviously, God's put in His Word to think about those things because often we don't think about those things. So where does your thought process go? Listen to Isaiah 26, verse 3. You will keep in perfect and constant peace the one whose mind is steadfast, that is committed and focused on you in both inclination and character, because he trusts and takes refuge in you with hope and confident expectation. And here's Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2, which is what I shared about earlier this year. Therefore, if you've been raised with Christ to a new life, sharing in his resurrection from the dead, keep seeking the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind and keep focused habitually on the things above, the heavenly things, not on the things that are on the earth, which have only temporal value. All scriptures about the mind. The Bible's got a lot to say about the mind. So how do you go controlling your thoughts? Or do your thoughts control you? Thoughts are powerful things. How do you go? Do you just let them take their path and run off? Or do you put a stop to them when you need to? Thoughts like, I'm not good enough. Thoughts of shame. Thoughts of bitterness. Complaining about things. Thoughts of negativity. Always negative about situations. Thoughts of, I'm a failure. Thoughts of greed, of lust. Thoughts of comparison. Sometimes thoughts of revenge, thoughts of unforgiveness, anger, thoughts of regrets, thoughts of how you've been hurt in the past and you never think that you can recover. Well, tonight I want to share on a scripture that is all about our thoughts. And if you've got your Bibles there, and we're going to put it on the screen, at 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 to 5. For though we walk in the flesh as mortal men, we are not carrying on our spiritual warfare according to the flesh and using the weapons of man. The weapons of our warfare are not physical weapons of flesh and blood. Our weapons are divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying sophisticated arguments and every exalted and proud thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought, every one of those thoughts, doesn't say some of those thoughts, talks about every thought that sets itself up against the knowledge of God and the purpose of it, captive to the obedience of Christ. So, in short, we're not in a physical war, but a spiritual one. We use spiritual weapons that are powerful. Scripture says they're powerful. If we believe the scripture, it says that the weapons that we fight with are powerful. And it says your mind is the war zone or the battlefield. And in the end, it says you must take prisoners. With our thoughts, we must be intentional. And you'll notice here in this scripture, Paul is using a military type picture for us to give an understanding. And when we see the title of the message, it's to take captive every thought. Think of it from a war zone point of view. Think of things that way. So every thought that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, if it's like in a war situation, you take a prisoner of war. It's almost chilling, really, isn't it? But every thought that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, you take it captive and don't allow it to damage you in the war. Take it out of the picture. It's a powerful thought. It's a powerful concept. So I'd like to look at a game of chess to draw a couple of similarities that it has with the scripture. Okay, so anyone any good at chess here? Anyone any good at chess? Matt, you're really good at chess. Do you win games of chess? Oh, fantastic, mate. Anyone else good at chess? Anyone understand? Does everyone understand chess and got an idea of what chess is? Okay, no worries. So some of you may not be very good at chess, but anyway, let's just have a quick look at a few things that are similar to what the scriptures talk about. And the first thing that I want to bring to your thought process is the black and white pieces look the same, but they're obviously different in colour. Beware of the counterfeit thought that sounds similar, as in similar to the knowledge of God, but actually sets itself up against the knowledge of God. Beware of that thought. It might seem okay, but sets itself up against the knowledge of God. It might look okay, but it actually sets itself up against the knowledge of God. Okay, so let me give you a couple of examples. And I shared a little bit about this in the last message that I brought. So here's a classic example of how people take a thought that sets itself up against the knowledge of God and yet don't live it correctly. And it is the thought of offense. If someone offends you, if your brother offends you, and I've told this story I think a couple of times, but I no longer sit in here complainers complaining about someone else if they come to me and complain about someone else. Because the Bible says if you have an issue with your brother or sister, what does it say? Go to them and them alone. Now, often, so many Christians know what the knowledge of God is and what it says, and they will complain to others about issues that they've got with someone else. And the whole aspect of who God is, He is a God of restoration. And sometimes we get a little bit watery over things that are a little bit hard to do. And instead of complaining and whinging about other people, we don't do what we should do, we should go to them and them alone and talk to them about it. Because if you're whinging and moaning about other people, you're doing exactly the opposite of what the scripture says. And some people say to me, oh, it's too hard. I just can't go and talk to them. But that's not what the scripture says. Scripture says go to them and go to them alone. Because what it does is it you may not always get agreeance, but it ends the discussion right there. And it doesn't involve other people. It doesn't involve gossip. It stops the discussion, and invariably, in nearly every case that I'm aware of, it brings people together. It doesn't separate them. So there's a classic case of where people, and they use excuses like it's too hard, I can't go and speak to them, they'll just howl me down, and occasionally that might be the case. But there's a thought where we begin to think about how bad people are, and we don't actually do what we're called to do, and that's to go to them and them alone. Okay, so that's one issue, or, you know, if you like, that's a part of the black and white pieces. They look the same, but they're actually different in colour, and they are different, and they might look similar, but we need to do what the Bible's asked us to do. And sometimes people even use the excuse of, oh, look, I don't want to cause division. I don't want to upset anyone. And yet you're prepared to talk about it with everyone else. You're not prepared to do what God's word says. On the surface, it looks okay to, oh, I don't want to cause any issues, but that's not what God's asking you to do. Okay. So secondly, we see the whole aspect of how Satan works. Did God say? Did God really say? And we saw a classic case in the Garden of Eden where he said to Eve, did God really say that if you eat from that tree, you would truly die? Kind of looks the same, but there's a little bit of grey area in that, and he kind of sucks Eve in by, you know, God, did he really say that? Surely he didn't say that. Surely God didn't say that you're a new creation and that the old has passed away and the new has come. Surely he didn't say that. Surely I'm, you know, it'll be okay for me to just keep doing the things that set themselves up against the knowledge of God. Surely it would be okay for me to do that. He didn't mean it. God didn't really mean it. I'll always be negative because that's the way my family have been. I'll always be an angry person because that's what's been modelled to me. Surely God didn't say that I need to deal with those issues. Okay, so this is the first thing we see. The second thing we see in a similarity, if you have a look at a game of chess, there's different pieces, but there's about eight pieces that are same, and they're called pawns. And the thing that I had on a pawn was, a thought may not seem harmful, but it still needs to be taken captive immediately. A thought like, I wish I had what they had. I wish I looked like them. A thought like, I'd be happy when I've got this. Pawn thoughts. Thoughts of, you know, little things that don't seem too bad, but we allow the mind to continue down the path. Song of Solomon 2:15 says, catch all the foxes, those little foxes, before they ruin the vineyard of love, for the grapevines are blossoming. Catch all the little foxes. Don't just take one or two, catch all the little foxes. The third thing that we see, and we see, if we can put that next slide up, Cayman, that'd be awesome. If we have a look at these chess pieces, you'd be familiar with them. It says every thought. They all vary, the thoughts, and some are more lethal than others. Thoughts like comparisons. They may not be a small pawn thought, they might be a rook thought. They might be a bit more dangerous. Thoughts of comparison. God must love them more than he loves me. Thoughts of comparison. Comparison is one of the most dangerous thoughts you can have. Thoughts of assuming the worst in people. I wonder what they meant by that. Are they angry at me? Do they even care about me? Do they believe me? They are just out to get me. Thoughts of fantasy. Lustful thoughts. Which thoughts are the most dangerous for you that you allow to take a hold and don't take captive? It says every thought that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. So let's look at the fourth thing. If you've ever played the game of chess before, and I'm not sure whether you know, but if you're on the white team and you take the pawn from one end to the other, you can replace that pawn with a queen or a bishop or whatever other thought, or it might be a rook, but you can take that pawn out of the game and get a more powerful figure. So the promotion of a pawn in a game of chess is dangerous for the opponent. So don't allow a small thought to become a dangerous one. You allow that to get from one side of the board to the other, and it could be lethal against you in a game of chess. What you will feed will grow. It may seem like a small thought, but if you feed it, it will grow. Be wary of meditation from a negative point of view. Something like it's not fair then grows to be life's not fair. And we begin to think from a negative point of view. And if life's not fair, then God's against us. A thought that sets itself up against the knowledge, the true knowledge of God. Be wary of that thought going from small to big. Don't feed it. Take it captive straight away. And the last thing that I had, the fifth point, was check, 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 checkmate. And I think this is probably the thing that we can all relate to more than anything else. Some thoughts have been in place for a long time. As we look back at Stephen Covey's, if we go back to that slide came in, third one in, I think it is. Sow a thought, reap an action. Sow an action, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny. Some thoughts have been in place for a long time and seem immovable, to the point where they almost define, or they define who we are. We've allowed them in so much that they define who we are. Well, don't give up taking that thought captive. When it comes back, take it captive. Don't allow it any more traction in your life. It can take up to 3 weeks constantly dealing with thoughts on a very regular basis, so they no longer have a hold or they no longer have traction in your life. See, the Word of God is living and powerful, and God puts in here what is helpful for us to help us to have an awesome life. And so it's important that we understand the power of thoughts. So I just want to finish just with a couple of thoughts. So I want you to ask these two questions about the thoughts that you have. The first one is this thought truth. Andrew Culverson, where are you? Right on the money. Andrew prayed in the prayer meeting. He didn't know what I was speaking about, but he prayed that truth would be brought forth tonight. And he had a word on truth in the prayer meeting. Is this thought truth? Does it line up with truth? Does it line up with God's truth? Or does it set itself up against the knowledge of God? Is this thought truth? And the second thing is, does this thought line up with what God says about me? Does it line up with what God says about me? There's two questions you can ask if you're not sure about a thought that are very powerful questions about our thoughts. So just quickly, I just want to take you to a time in the Old Testament that Moses has just passed away and Joshua is the man to take over from Moses. And it's a really significant moment in history. Now, Joshua wouldn't have known what to do with Moses dying. And God comes to Joshua and he says this to him. In Joshua 1 verse 9 he says, This is my command to you, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Sometimes we have thoughts of fear or discouraged. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now that's an awesome thought. But that's not the most important thought. And for all of us here, we get into moments in our lives where we're not sure about what the answer is on our thoughts. And we're not sure whether we're thinking that it's okay. But the most powerful part about this scripture is not this one. It's the verse before it in Joshua 1 verse 8. And it says this, study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night, so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. It's hard to define what a positive thought is and what a negative thought is, or what a thought is that sets itself up against the knowledge of God if we don't understand his word. We must meditate on it day and night, because then we'll know, then we'll understand. Are our thoughts leading to life or our thoughts leading to death? And a small thought, a very small thought that is out of place can lead to death. So tonight, I'd like, Andy, if you guys can come up, I'd just like to finish on that last song you did. And I know there's people here, and we're not going to have an altar call as per se coming forward. We're going to sing this song. And I know there's people here, and your thought life is a mess. And you have allowed little thoughts that are bad to lead you down paths that are quite harmful. And there may be thoughts that you have in your mind, thoughts of frustration and anger that you can't seem to overcome. And I believe God is going to do something about our thoughts tonight. And he's going to give us tools in our hands to deal with the thoughts that are harmful to us. And so as we all stand together, you know if I'm talking to you. You know if you've got issues with your thoughts. And whether they be negative thoughts or whatever they are. But we need to stick to what the word says about how to deal with our thoughts. And I hope that you will remember this tonight. If you have that thought that is sets itself up against the knowledge of God, take it captive. Deal with it right there and then. Right there and then. Take it captive. Mark, did you have something you wanted to share?
When I sang the song earlier, these thoughts came to me. And I wasn't sure when to give this word. I think now's the right time. One of the first lines of the song, it says, there are walls, and I thought they would be down by now. God showed me that the walls are the lies that you believe about God and who he is, and the lies you believe about yourself. Those are the walls. And if you start to believe the truth of that God is love and that you are in Christ and that you are loved, you will start to see those walls fall down. And one of the other lies of the word was that it's dark now, but then I will praise again. And God said to me, you praise in the dark because the praise is the truth that will bring down the lies of the walls.
Awesome. No worries. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your word. We just thank you that it is there to help us each day. It's not some far out thing that we can't get hold of or can't understand. You have made it understandable for us. It is for us so that we can live a life that is alive, that is powerful, and it may be progressive. It may be one step after the other. But God, you want to take us on a journey. You said that you've begun the work and that you are faithful to finish it. And so, God, I pray that we would know and understand the power of your word, the power of our thoughts, and that we would run with what you have to say about us, and that we wouldn't think things that set ourselves up against the knowledge of God, but for the knowledge of God. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.